Let's read together Acts 2, the story of Pentecost, that event that happened 10 days after Jesus ascended to the throne of the universe, sit at God's right hand. Acts 2. You'll find that on page 1692. I want to take a bird's eye view of the entire chapter, and so let's read Acts 2 together. Page 1692 in your pew Bibles. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above, signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, 'I saw the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence.' Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he, Jesus, has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And really the center here, congregation, is verse 33. Please keep your Bibles open to Acts 2. And verse 33 is really the center. Exalted to the right hand of God, he, Jesus, has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. May God bless this word to our hearts and lives. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the focus of Pentecost is not the Holy Spirit. The focus of Pentecost is Jesus. When the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, there were many signs and wonders that accompanied his arrival. And the people were perplexed. They were bewildered. What does this mean? And then Peter preached his great Pentecost sermon to explain the meaning of what happened. And his answer was essentially this: Jesus is on the throne. And from the throne, he is getting to work here on earth. He has sent out his Holy Spirit to bring out the gospel and bring in the nations. Pentecost is about Jesus. What does this mean? What's all this sound of wind and this appearance of fire and speaking in tongues? His answer is Jesus did this. Exalted to the right hand of God, Jesus has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and Jesus has poured out what you now see and hear. And really, that's what a Spirit-filled church is. One that's focused on Jesus. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. It's his task to take our diverted attention, which is set on this world, and to redirect our attention and focus us on Jesus and bring us to faith in him and to witness for him. Well, we want to take a bird's eye view of Acts 2 from the perch of verse 33. What's Jesus doing from his throne in heaven? He's shaking up the earth by the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to do a quick flyover and see what Pentecost means for us today. And looking at the whole chapter, see that it means seven things. You ready for a seven-point sermon? Seven things. I got to give you your money's worth. Number one, Pentecost means harvest. Acts 2 verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came. Pentecost was an Old Testament Jewish feast. Penta means 50th. It began on the 50th day after Passover Sabbath, sometimes called the Feast of Weeks or Feast of Ingathering. Always started on a Sunday. This day, Pentecost, happened on a Sunday when the people were gathered. You see, another reason why the church gathers today on Sunday. Jesus rose on Sunday. The Holy Spirit was poured out on Sunday. It was a harvest festival. They had a harvest festival for when the harvest was finished. That was the Feast of Tabernacles. But the Feast of Pentecost was when the harvest had begun, when the barley was starting to be brought in. And it was on this day that the Lord Jesus poured out his Holy Spirit, saying, "Now the harvest, not of barley, not of corn, now the harvest of souls has begun. I've done my work on earth. I purchased the salvation of all God's people from all nations. I took your sin upon myself. I took the curse and the punishment of God you deserved. I took your place and set you free. I purchased your freedom. I redeemed you. I created a full salvation. Now I'm on the throne, and that salvation is going to go out, and I'm going to gather in the people that I died for. I'm going to harvest the nations, and I'm sending out the Holy Spirit to be the combine, to be the fuel, to be the energy, to be the power for harvest. That's what Pentecost is all about. Jesus from heaven is now getting to work to share the salvation he won for us by his death on the cross. To share that, to spread that. And the question for us as the church of Pentecost is asked, do you see yourself as part of the harvest? And are you looking for all the nations to be brought in? Do you have a zeal for the harvest of the nations? That's what it is to be the church of Pentecost. Secondly, Pentecost means power. Look at the first sign that occurred on that day. The first sign from heaven, from Jesus, that something amazing was happening. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. There was actually no wind at all. But there was a sound of a storm wind, a mighty rushing wind coming from the sky, coming from above, coming down and filling the place. What's the meaning of that? Wind means power. A couple of weeks ago, we had a very windy day. And your mom and dad said to you after that wind, now go and clean the lawn. And it was filled with limbs and branches and twigs. And you said, oh no, look what the wind did. Then think of hurricanes and tornadoes. Wind is powerful. And Jesus one time said to Nicodemus, the work of the Holy Spirit is like the work of the wind. You can't see it, but it's extremely powerful. And we must know that on that day, the divine powers of heaven came down in the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is saying, my salvation is not going to be hidden. It's not going to stay silent. It's not going to be idle with me in heaven sitting here in the throne. I'm giving it power so that it can be carried to the ends of the earth. Because of the Holy Spirit, salvation is a power that can give rebirth, salvation to the hardest criminal, to the proudest, most arrogant sinner. It means power. Do you believe he has power to change you? Do you believe he has power to change your loved one? Do you believe he has power to save the nations? Regardless of how strong the evil one looks, there's a power far greater from heaven. Being the church of Pentecost means believing that Jesus' salvation through the Spirit has the power to take over the world and take over your life. Do you trust that power in your life to do what needs to be done to save you? Don't give up. Don't say, it's not possible for me. The Spirit's far more powerful than your heart and soul and mind. Praise the Lord. Thirdly, Pentecost means God's presence. Look at the next sign. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. It wasn't actual fire, but the appearance of it, a ball of fire. And then tongues separating from that ball and resting on not just the 12 or 11 apostles, but all the 120 people gathered there, men and women, young and old. And I think back to Moses meeting the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai when Israel was in slavery and so powerless. And Moses was so weak and he was a fugitive. And he appeared as a flame of fire, we read, in a bush. And the bush wasn't burned. And God's message that came to Moses that day was, I see my people in their need and I am coming down to be with them and rescue them. I'm coming down to be with them and rescue them. The flame of fire coming to rest on each one is Jesus saying, I will not leave you as orphans. I am with you. You're not alone, dear Church of Jesus Christ. You're not alone, dear people of God. You're not alone, dear saint. Pentecost tells you that Jesus is with you through His Holy Spirit. Oh, He was present with the people in the Old Testament. But now He's poured out. And His presence is fuller, richer, and more powerful than ever before. He's been poured out on you. He's yours. Ask Him to fill you. Do you ever pray, Holy Spirit, fill me? You've been given to us. Jesus, you gave Him to us on the day of Pentecost. He's ours. Fill us with your Spirit. I am so weak. I am so fragile. I fall so easily. I'm so cowardly. I need your presence like a purifying fire living in me. He's for all believers. The flame came to rest in each one. He's saying, no, not for little old me. Men and women, old and young. That's clearly the prophecy of the Old Testament. Pentecost means the presence of Jesus. Fourthly, Pentecost means mission. Look at verse 4. Now we have the next sign of what Jesus is doing at Pentecost. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The Holy Spirit is the power of speech. He gives us the boldness and the power to talk about Jesus. Without Him, we're scared. But not only that, on that day, the Lord Jesus gave a special sign. He had them talk. He had the 11 apostles talk in different languages. Are these not Galileans? I mean, they were unlearned men, hicks from the sticks. And suddenly they're speaking Babylonian and Arabic and Italian and Egyptian. They've never studied these. And that's what speaking in tongues is, by the way, not babbling in an unknown language. It's speaking in the tongue of other people so they can hear the gospel. It was a one-time thing, but it was a special sign from Jesus that I'm going to cross all the boundaries with my good news of salvation. Through the Spirit, we're going to all the languages of the earth because all the nations have been given to me as my possession. The covenant will no longer stay tied to the Jewish people. It's moving out and expanding, the covenant is, to all nations. You know, they were given power to speak about Jesus. The power for evangelism and missions. It's good for us, congregation, to seek good evangelism programs. And to put on seminars for witnessing. We hope to put one on soon. How to share the message of Jesus with your neighbor. Stay tuned. But there's one essential thing that's really the core of it all. We will not be evangelistic unless we're filled with the Holy Spirit. He's the one, the only one that can give us that zeal, that burning to talk about Jesus, that boldness to break me out of the chains and walls of my fraidy-catness. And we need to pray. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Jesus, so I can talk about you. You know I want to tell others about you, but I am so afraid and I don't know what to say. And so we need to learn to be a speaking church. To talk about Jesus. But we can't unless we're filled with the Spirit. But He's been given. Pray for Him to fill you. Pray that Jesus will fill you with His Spirit to help you talk to your neighbor. Start praying that today, every day this week, and watch Him work. And pray that we be a sending church to see that that message we want to share with our neighbors, we want to see that go to all languages. Jesus showed us this on the day of Pentecost. We want to see that shared with all languages so that we send people who speak that in other languages as well. Fourthly, fifthly, Pentecost means promise. The crowds ask in verse 12, what does this mean? We heard the sound of the wind in the house where you were staying. We see fire resting on you, or what looks like fire. You're talking about Jesus in languages that you've never learned. What's the meaning? Some said, it's liquor. You can be sure this is liquor. And then Peter stands up and has that sermon. Has that sermon that starts in verse 17 and goes all the way through verse 36. And his sermon is basically this. God is fulfilling his ancient promises. That's what's going on. Promises found throughout the whole Old Testament. He starts off with Joel, verse 17. The prophet Joel said that this was going to happen, right? God says that in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people. That is all the church. Not just a few leaders like in the old. Like he filled Saul and he filled Samuel and he filled David. But all. He'll fill all. That was God's plan all along. Remember how God said to Abraham? How he promised Abraham, through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Well, the seed of Abraham came, Jesus. And he created the blessing of salvation by his death and resurrection. But now it's time for that blessing of Abraham, created through his seed, Jesus, the Messiah. Time for that blessing to go. And so God promised not only his son in the Old Testament, but also promised the pouring out of his Holy Spirit. In fullness of presence and power on young and old, men and women, that the message of Christ might go out to everyone and everyone who hears and believes the Spirit's message, that Jesus Christ is both, or Jesus is both Lord and Christ. Everybody who hears that Spirit's message, who calls on the name of the Lord, will be saved. Pentecost means promise. Do you believe that promise? Pentecost isn't a sudden event out of the blue, out of nowhere. The Bible is full of this message. There's going to come one to create our salvation named Jesus. And then he's going to put out his Holy Spirit to share that salvation to the ends of the earth. And this is exactly the way God planned. This is no accident. This is no coincidence. This is not just by chance. Jesus didn't suddenly just get a bright idea and say, hey, let's try this. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit have this plan from all eternity. It's promised all through the Old Testament, and now it's fulfilled. Pentecost means promise. Sixthly, Pentecost means repentance and conversion. What was the response after the sermon? Verse 37. When the people heard this, the message that you killed Jesus, but God raised him up and exalted him to his right hand. And that Jesus that you killed is now exalted, has poured out his Holy Spirit. And that's why you see and hear all this. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? When the prophets preached in the Old Testament, there was very little success. They didn't go very far. But now Peter, this guy who's just denied Christ three times, this guy who was a coward, now he talks, and by his simple sermon about Jesus, by the Spirit's power, it's a knife that reaches the heart, and they're cut, and they're convicted by the Spirit's power. We have sinned against God. We're worthy of damnation. We're wicked in the sight of God. What shall we do? How can we get out from under this curse? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And the Spirit's power created conviction of sin, but also created conversion to Christ and then confession of Jesus' name. You see, through the Holy Spirit's power, the gospel is given new success. 3,000 were added that day. Now that happens only once or twice in the New Testament. But the point is that now this word has power to go deep right to people's hearts and far across all the nations because of the Spirit's power of repentance and conversion that comes in and through the word. Peter said, repent and believe and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Have you repented? of your sins against God? Have you become a broken sinner before God that says, I'm unworthy of you, I'm wicked, I deserve hell? Lord, look at all my sins against you and against my neighbor. Look how I've wasted all the gifts that you've given me. Look at how I've treated my wife. Look how I've treated my husband. Look how I've treated my children. How I've treated my clients and my employees and my employer. Look how I've neglected you and ignored you. Save me. Jesus, save me. And when we repent, Peter said, you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to be filled with the Spirit? Repent. If you don't repent, you'll stay empty, dull, bored, unconcerned about the gospel and about mission. But repent. And I know it's only by the Spirit's power you can repent. Repent. God tells you to. He'll enable you to. Trust Him. And you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He'll break you down and humble you first. And He'll rebuild you, a new man in Christ, a new creation. And now you want more and more of Jesus. You hunger for Him. You thirst for Him. You want to come to His table. And you want to spread the good news. Fill me with Your Spirit, Lord, so I can give it, being given courage to speak. And fifthly, Pentecost means fellowship. Those who heard the word not only were convicted and converted and came to confess Christ, but they were gathered into the body of Christ. Pentecost means fellowship. Look at 2 verse 42. They, those who believed and were baptized and were added to the number of the church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. And on that day, the Holy Spirit started to build God's new temple. The Old Testament temple was built with stones. But that temple is now moving aside, and through the Spirit, a new and living temple is being made a living stone. You are that temple. Believers everywhere are that temple, gathered in millions of congregations all over the world. And the Holy Spirit is the one who binds us to the body of Christ, gives us a special place there, and then equips us with special gifts, and then calls us to use those gifts to build up the body. And that's what they did then, and that's what we're called to do now. A one anothering fellowship, serving one another, loving one another, welcoming one another, admonishing one another, encouraging one another, praying for one another, confessing our sins to one another, grieving with one another, rejoicing with one another, bearing one another's burdens, and on and on. And that, too, is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Pray for Him to fill you so that you also might take your place meaningfully, as a member of the body of Christ and one who builds that body. Well, brothers and sisters, that's the call of Acts 2. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, do not quench the Spirit. Don't put out His fire. He's been poured out. He's been given to you. Don't ignore Him. Don't be afraid of Him and say, I don't want to do what He's going to make me do. That's grieving the Spirit. But ask for Him to fill you, to draw you to Jesus more and more, make you love Jesus more and more, and to talk about Jesus more and more, and to look like Jesus more and more. That's what He'll do. Don't quench the Spirit, but be filled with the Spirit, so that we might be a people that speaks of Jesus and that sends out the message of Jesus to all the nations. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for not leaving us as orphans when You lifted up Your Son to heaven. Without the Spirit, we would have been lost, powerless. The gospel would have gotten nowhere. The church would have fallen apart. We praise You, Jesus, for sending out Your Spirit to empower us to believe the gospel, to spread the gospel, and to be church builders with the gospel. And we pray that You will use the table to unite us more fully to Jesus, Holy Spirit, and more fully to one another, that we might be the people of Pentecost at this time and in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.